Bobby Bones post show pre show.
On yesterday's post show, we were talking about athletes and how Tom Brady was doing Tampa Bay, and then he made a joke about how Drew Brees didn't do Drew Orleans. And then Amy goes, hey, what other athletes could there be? And so she went home and she made a list of these guys. So
sure did.
Good for you.
Okay. Came up with them all by myself.
What other athletes are you tying into their cities?
Well, LeBron James plays in Los Angeles for the LA Lakers.
Wait, he plays in where? Los Angeles?
Los Angeles.
Okay. Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. Go ahead.
How do you say?
Los Angeles.
LeBron.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So it'd be LeBrongeles.
Okay. That's pretty good.
Okay.
LeBrongeles.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Because say Tom Brady's again.
Tampa Brady.
Right. LeBrongeles. Or no, sorry. LeBrongeles.
LeBrongeles. No, we liked it. I don't know why. She's still fighting for it for some reason. She
right.
came in thinking we were going to make fun of her.
Okay. Are you ready for my next one? I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. You know Steph Curry, he plays in San Francisco for the Golden State Warriors. So he could make t-shirts that say, Steph Curry Cisco.
Okay. We're giving you the reaction you thought you were going to get on the last one, on this one. That's not a good one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What? It's not?
Nah.
No.
Oh, boo.
Go ahead.
Okay. What about Tannehill?
Well, you need to set that up. You need to set that up.
Well, I was going to see if you wanted to guess who it is.
Well, Ryan Tannehill, like Nashville?
Yeah. Good job.
I feel like there should be some kind of ish.
Sorry, Nashville, Ryan Tannehill. So, Tannehill.
Borderline. Not your worst.
Well, what do you think it should
best.
Be?
Why just not that one? What do you mean? I think
it Nash be. Ryan?
No, well, the team is Tennessee, to be fair. Tennessee Titans.
But the Tampa Bay.
Hold on. But Golden State's not San Francisco, Eddie, to be fair.
That's true.
So by her standards, if you're just within 100 miles, you can name any player after the town.
Oh, I Googled it, and that's what came up.
Yeah, well, okay. But that one's in the middle of the road. Go ahead. What else you got?
Oh, shoot. Okay, well, this one, it helps if you know where Michael Phelps lives. And I looked it up. He lives in Paradise Valley, or at least he bought a place there.
Okay.
So, get this.
Oh, my God.
Phelpsadice Valley.
So dumb.
Yeah. Hold on. And along the same lines of that one, you know Phil Mickelson? He's one of the top golfers ever.
Yeah.
He lives in Rancho Santa Fe, California. So, Rancho Santa Phil.
Okay, she got drunk at some part last time and just started. Okay. Do you have any other ones?
I have one more.
Okay.
I have one more. And this is Dak Prescott from the Dallas Cowboys. Dakless.
Now, that sounds like that's a surgery. That's what you come after surgery.
Oh.
Like, Dakless.
Your wife catches you cheating, so you come back Dakless.
Oh, this is all I could. I already had spent way too much time on it because I didn't know the players. Then I didn't know where they lived. Then I didn't know the team.
Well, as long as you got Michael Phelps Plus Valley of Santa Monica. That's the only one that I think was pretty strong.
LeBrongeles.
Was LeBrongeles. Yeah. That was pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, but, thank you. That was actually the first one I came up with out of the gate. And then it just went downhill from there.
As it often does. Hey, you know, I was going to ask you, Amy, did you ever get your kids' pictures? Like, was that ever, like, a hard proof, a school picture, or was it a digital thing?
Yeah, so we got digital proofs, and you can order them. You can order hard copies, though, so you can order even wallet size. And I thought to myself, who's even carrying pictures in a wallet anymore? But I guess maybe some grandparents are, so I'm doing it. I'm buying pictures because the kids, they turned out so cute. Ugh. They were just adorable. I'm totally in. I got suckered. I'm like, yep, I'll take all of them in the wallet size and 8x10 and 5x6.
That'll be something that young people like. Is Morgan number two still on the line with us? Is she at her house with the microphone on?
M2.
Can you hear me?
I'm here.
Did you ever have school pictures where they sold wallet size pictures?
Yeah. I mean, I would give them to my boyfriends. They'd put them in their wallets.
Your boyfriends? She had a stack of them. Like, who's it going to be this month? Okay, so that was a thing for you. So maybe it's below that where there's never pictures to keep in wallets. It's just phone pictures. Eventually, the wallet turns into the phone for pictures.
Yeah.
At some age, there's a cutoff now with it, but somebody who's maybe 19, 22, 23, they didn't have a hard picture in a wallet. They just had phone.
Yeah. And the digital that they sent out too, you know, we used to get the actual physical copy and it would have proof stamped on it or whatever. This just has like a watermark all over it. So you can't, but I feel like I could screenshot that and then
Photoshop a little bit.
Do a little coloring to it. Send it over to Morgan. I mean, most of my
somebody
school
could
pictures
face tune it.
From being a kid had proof on it because we couldn't afford them. So we just kept the proof. And like, if you look through all the years, you just see like I have 3 out of 4 had proof on it somewhere. So that's all the good old days. Speaking of your kids, I want to do a quick extra commercial for being our sponsor. Hey, Raimundo, do you have that imaging ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go.
And now an extra commercial for still being our sponsor.
Times are tough right now, and it's hard to get anybody to pay for commercials, even with us. We're a pretty successful show, you know? But what I want to do is shout out to Norton LifeLock, because for free right now, you don't have to even put in your payment information. They're doing the Norton family, which you can help monitor for 6 months, I think. Let me make sure this is right. I talk about this all the time. You can help monitor your kids' activities online, block unsuitable sites, see what websites, search terms, videos, help them avoid accidentally giving out sensitive personal information too. So for 6 months for free, go to norton.com/family and sign up today. Norton.com/family. 6 months totally free. No, you don't have to put any payment information in. So
I love that. Okay. Yeah.
So, and I'm a big,
now that my kids are doing online school, they're on the computer way more than they ever
which
have
been. Which
is
why they're doing that
ever.
Right now, yeah.
Exactly. I'm into that. Thank you, Norton.
Well, Norton, go there, do that 6 months for free, and that's why we do that. There you go. Play it out, Raimundo.
That was an extra commercial for still being our sponsor.
Hey, Raimundo, Lunchbox, here's my question. You know, on yesterday's show, we talked about Lunchbox's baby. Is Raimundo Lunchbox's kid's godfather? Lunchbox, is he your kid's godfather?
No. Oh. Never heard of that in my life until I saw Ray tweet it, and I was like, you know, the responsibility of godfather is presence and a lot of responsibility, but Ray has not stepped up and done any of that. Never thought about him as a godfather, but if he's interested, I can interview him, and maybe he could be the godfather.
Okay, I'm definitely down for an interview. I thought
an interview.
Maybe since
are you putting him up against other candidates?
I assumed Eddie might be in the lineup.
No,
his brother.
No, I'm out. Nope.
But
Eddie's got enough kids.
I'm out. I can't.
I'm busy. Yeah.
I was basically like, I threw you a bone being a groomsman. Let's throw me a little godfather bone.
Wow,
if you're down with that.
Giving each other the bone.
Yeah, I didn't know this was a tit for tat, a ying for a yang thing.
Tits and bones?
What's happening?
But, you know, I'll talk to him. I'll interview him and see if he'd be a good candidate. I don't know if he's ready to be a godfather. It takes a lot of responsibility.
Wow.
I've been one for years.
Have you ever had to do anything?
No.
So I thought it took a lot of responsibility.
Well, I mean, I send presents on birthdays and Christmas, and I see her play soccer every once in a while. Wow,
yeah, but isn't the godfather supposed to like be spiritual leader for this?
I think there are a lot
child?
Of different rules based on how, if it's a religious thing or if it's just a straight up, hey, if I die, you get the you have to take the kid.
Yeah, and that's another thing.
Yeah.
If mom and dad go bye-bye, then I'm there.
Would you leave your kid to Raimundo?
I don't think he's ready for that. No. I that's why I got to interview him, because I don't know if he's serious about this or not.
He did write it, and then everybody hit me
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I just hit it on a joke as a tweet, but then it actually did get pretty serious because people were saying you would be a good godparent, and then I started to kind of believe in that myself as well.
Why that? What's wrong with it?
Raimundo is not. Okay.
He started to believe it himself.
Somebody replied to his tweet, and all of a sudden, he believed in himself.
And I mean, dude, if you go down to Corona, you're looking at your boy right here. I can bring that guy up right, okay? I'm dead serious, dude. I'm very similar to you. I mean, kind of similar personalities. I think I'd be the guy for the job to raise him.
Raimundo, okay. You and your girl talking about kids?
The only conversation we've had is her saying we're probably a couple years out from that.
But that's like 10 years for you. A couple.
No. If it was going to be kids, yeah, it would be after the wedding. We'd get that taken care of. But it's kind of a process just because I do believe we're going to have to find a surrogate, that 23 eggs are frozen, and there's a process that goes down. So it's not just your typical 9 months. It can't go down like that. It's got to be, for us, it's probably a year and a half. That's why I'm saying it's out there a little bit.
Do you know how much that costs?
Surrogate, you can get them for free. The eggs are $500 a year.
Wait.
You get a surrogate for free?
No, nobody's going to have your baby for free.
I already got a couple candidates. My sister has pumped out two kids.
He's interviewing them. It's like Lunchbox. Raymond?
Wait. Did she offer, or you're just assuming because she's your sister?
She would love to have our kid. We've never signed contracts or anything like that, but she would 100% be down. And then we've also had some listeners reach out to us.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. Raymond, yeah! Smart.
Raymond was like, my sister would love to have my baby. We've been talking about it for years. Good luck, Raymundo.
Thank you.
That is a tough one. I don't know, though, about if it's not your sister, if you get it for free. I don't think listeners are volunteering their wombs for free. I think they're probably like, maybe.
Oh, no, I think they do. They were volunteering for me, too, back whenever we were trying to get pregnant and they didn't know the issue.
Yeah,
they were volunteering.
I don't know if they would do that for free. How much would you pay, Raymundo?
Yeah.
Again, I would love to go the free route, but hopefully going to be getting a stimulus check soon. I could easily pay a G for a surrogate.
he forwards the stimulus check over. How much does surrogate cost, Mike? Will you look that up?
Yeah.
Like if you were to just go. And could you go to Craigslist?
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh, $30,000 to $40,000.
Whoa!
That's the base compensation. So that doesn't include, you know, if there's any doctor's costs. That's just her base compensation.
Wow.
So think of all the other medical fees that she may encounter.
Yep.
That you have to pay for.
Yeah,
I mean, you have to put the bill.
We're going to have to start saving up. It's going to be more than 2 years because that is a ton of money. I did not know it was that expensive.
Well, your sister, though, will do it.
Yeah, if she did that for me, I would be forever indebted to her.
What about your mom?
I believe she's in her 60s.
Oh, what about Morgan too?
Gosh, let me turn her up.
What?
Yeah, why not?
Yep, right. No, I'm going to pass on that.
Hey, Eddie, I have a note here.
What?
It makes sense. I have a note here that says your kids put you onto a new song.
Oh, yeah. New jam, man. It's like, I'd never heard of it. It may be big somewhere, but I'd never heard of it. It's called Sunday Best, and it's by a band called, let me see.
Surfaces.
Mike, is that a big band? I have no idea.
Yeah, they're pretty big.
Are they? What, another song?
I don't think so.
On TikTok?
No.
Then I don't know it. All right, here, let me hear it.
Hey, feeling good.
Yeah.
Like I should.
Oh, you know
it.
Yeah,
I know it.
Yeah, I know it too.
This is on it is repeat in my house.
Feeling blessed.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's like the kids' new version of Shaggy. That's what I hear when I hear this song.
Okay, a little Shaggy.
Little island feel. Is this how they come across this?
I don't know how they find their music, man, but they do. My 12-year-old, he has an iPad now, so. He's out finding new stuff, and it's kind of weird because I was the one that would introduce them to music. Now it's kind of turned a little bit. Now I got to go to them to see what's hip.
Oh, that's a good one. Emma, your kids introduced you to anything?
Oh, I mean, that song, like if you go to my TikTok right now, I'm pretty sure Stashira has like 5 dances up to that.
Yeah.
Feeling blessed.
Amy's daughter was doing TikToks like in my house, and all the songs were like, lick me in my sweet spot. I'm a ratchet.
Oh, I know.
I'm a ratchet,
bad.
Ratchet ho ho. And I'm like, what is happening here?
But they don't know what that means, Bone. So it's kind of like,
I know.
Whatever.
That's what I said. I gave up because I was being real stick in the mud about it. As long as her moves do not indicate anything that goes, as long as her moves are innocent, I'm fine. But sometimes she was learning moves off of other TikToks that went with the lyrics. And that's where I drew the line.
It just felt uncomfortable to me.
Oh, I agree.
I just walked away from the phone. I was like, I don't need to see this. I don't need to hear it. There's Amy's daughter is talking about her sweet spot. I'm out of here.
She wasn't. It was in the song.
But she's like singing it.
Yeah, I know. But she has no idea what that really means.
Did you do the first photo challenge by any chance?
I didn't.
You know what that is on Instagram?
Yeah, it's where you go through and find your first photo with your significant other.
Mm-hmm. Do you have the first photo with your husband?
I would have to go. I'm sure I bet my sister does. She's probably the one that took it.
Oh, when you were kids. How about when you guys started dating, though?
Oh, no. I mean, she's probably the one that took it when we started dating. I know I could find it. I just haven't taken the time. I saw people doing that, and I was like, well, that's cute. I saw Caitlin put y'all's up, which hers was, what, when y'all's first picture together was at the Dancing with the Stars party thing?
The rap party.
There was like a photo booth?
Mm-hmm. After, not my season, the season I went back to see Lauren. And yeah. I took her. It was like our first real, real date. I was like, hey, do you want to go to this with me? And then that's when everybody was like, who's the blonde girl sitting with Bobby on TV? And I was like, I have nothing to see here. And, but it was, yeah, we went to a photo booth and that was the picture she posted on it.
How long ago was that?
Last year?
Like, yeah, late
October. Late last year?
Maybe okay. Early November.
5 months?
Yeah, something like that. Why?
I'm just wondering. I didn't realize how long you guys have known each other or how long you've been dating.
Well, we met each other way before that, but we didn't date. One of her friends from Oklahoma was my PR person at ABC who would do shows, Dance with the Stars stuff. That's how we got introduced. And so then we met, and then we didn't follow up, and then I went back at the end of the season. I've told the whole story. Do I tell the story today?
Was it mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Later.
Later? Yeah. Go ahead, Amy. I think I do later on the
yeah,
show.
Coming yeah, coming up.
Okay, was it Christmas? No, Thanksgiving. You were over at my house, mm-hmm. and I remember you were showing us a picture of her, but y'all weren't like together yet, but kinda. But I remember you being like, this is her. It was so cute.
So cute. Okay, well, I'm going to end the show.
And then our friend Bobo was like, yeah, she's hot. And then Eddie was like, yo.
Oh, okay.
Eddie was like,
oh, he said she was banging.
Let's wrap it up. No, let's start the show.
Said. Eddie said, rockin' bod.
Oh, rockin'.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I don't remember saying that.
Good times.
Eddie. Okay, we're out. Here is today's show. Thank you guys for hanging out. Dr. Fauci's on today's show. Tomorrow's show, I believe we will have Gabby Barrett on. On Friday's show, I believe we have Brett Eldridge on.
Yep.
Bam. Feeling good. And I think
like
also.
I should.
No. Was yesterday Jay going? Or today? Yesterday was Jay going. Mm-hmm.
Today.
No, yesterday. I'm telling you, I get all my days mixed up. I don't know what day it is.
Same.
I don't know who. Okay. Here we go. Here's the show. Run away, kids.
Here we go.
Come on, Bobby.
Bobby Bones.
Transmitting.
Turn it up. Woo! This is the Bobby Bones Show. Let's go.
What's up, guys? Glad you're here with us on Wednesday. Man, Dr. Fauci is going to be on. How cool is that, Amy?
So cool.
I know.
Like, it's amazing.
That we've been chasing this for a long time, and Scuba Steve has just been relentlessly calling and emailing. He showed up at Fauci's house last night. The whole thing has been a little shady how we got it, but we got it. He didn't show up at his house, Amy.
I know.
Yeah.
But I mean, I know he was dedicated.
But he'll be on. He'll be on later on. Dr. Fauci will. I'd like to start off with the Tiger King story of the day. Here we go.
And now the Tiger King headline of the day.
From the Hillsboro Sheriff. Former husband of Carol Baskin was likely killed. Suspect didn't act alone. From Tampa, Florida, the Tiger King saga continues with a TMZ special that dives deeper into the Netflix documentary. One of those angles include the disappearance of Don Lewis, the former husband of Big Cat Rescue CEO, of the Big Cat Rescue CEO, which is Carol Baskin. Another headline says, the Florida sheriff says more than one person killed Tiger King star Carol Baskin's millionaire husband Don Lewis in a planned murder plot where money was the, quote, motivation. Boy, her life got shaken up in a way she didn't see coming. She thought she's probably going to make some more money off
this. I didn't see it coming either.
Hey, Eddie.
Yo.
Did you watch episode 2 of Tiger King?
I did, and everything you're talking about right now is perfect because that's kind of what episode 2 is all about. Surprisingly, Joe Exotic, who's, I'm assuming, the main character of this doc, isn't really in episode 2 a lot. It's mostly about this disappearance of this guy.
Yeah, Carol Baskin's husband.
Yes.
What'd you think of episode 2?
I love it, man. I mean, this is good stuff. Like, from stuff that I've heard people talk about, like, oh, this is just weird, and it's a very strange thing. Right now, I see nothing strange about it other than the great characters. They're a little interesting, you know, but other than that, this is a good story, and I cannot wait to see what happens, but I don't know. Hearing from you guys talk, I feel like there's just no conclusion, so I don't even know where this is going to go.
Well, there is a conclusion with Joe Exotic-ish. Okay. Right, Amy?
Yeah. Yeah, you know where at least he is right now.
Yeah, but you already know that anyway, right, Eddie?
Yeah, I knew that.
Where's Joe Exotic?
He's in jail.
Nice. You were listening to the show yesterday. Nice.
Yes.
But I guess my question is, are you still into it? Two episodes in.
I'm 100% in, yes. Right. And again, I only have time really with all the kids and the schedule and everything to do one episode a day. I'm trying to sneak in two, but yesterday I just got one episode, so I'm happy.
Hey, Raymundo, who's our audio guy who loves to gamble, him and Eddie gamble like crazy. There's a Bet Online put up the odds for, will Carol Baskin be found guilty of murdering Don Lewis? Now, Amy, here's what it is. If you bet no, no is the favorite, okay? So they don't think that he's going to be found guilty or she's going to be found guilty. If you bet no, it'll take $2,500 to make $100. Okay?
Okay.
If you bet yes, which is not the favorite, if you bet $100, you make $800.
Wow. Okay. Where do we bet?
Well, betonline.com. Raymond, do you ever use the site?
I have not yet. I've been on a lot of them. Sportsbook, Bovada, Inner Tops, Five Dimes. Never been on Bet Online, though.
Ray is in some shady websites.
Uh-huh.
I didn't even know that many websites existed for gambling. Ray, what would you bet?
I can keep listing them off if you want me to. No, my bet would be what I've always said. She isn't guilty, so you're going to have to put down a ton of money to win 100. It's just not a great bet. But it's already been determined, really, that she's not guilty. So that's what the website's siding with.
I don't know that it's been determined she's not guilty, right? It's a cold case.
I mean, so do you think they're reopening?
Well, it's a cold case. They just kind of stopped because they couldn't find anything else. But yeah, they've been talking about it. It's warm. It's warming up. Okay. I don't think she did it. I don't. I know we've had this conversation. I don't think she did it. Wow. But we'll see. I would bet no, but it would take me $2,500 to make $100.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't bet that.
Me neither, but I mean, I think that we feel like there's not enough evidence right now to say that she did it.
What if she just didn't
do it
at all?
I don't know that I'm like, there's
no way. She has no idea. She has no idea. And then this whole show just turned around and the people got her. That's an option too, Amy.
That could be.
We're in America.
That would be horrible.
We're in America. Innocent until proven guilty.
That's right.
That's why Carol Baskin should come on this show. Carol Baskin, I know you're listening out there. There's no way you live in Tampa and don't listen to this show. Yeah. Carol Baskin, I'm talking to you. I got your back. This whole show turned against you. You know who was here with you, Carol Baskin? Me. I don't think you did it. Come on. Come on the show, Carol Baskin. I got your back. I'll be the only one. I'm just going to throw this story out there. They're recommending that you shouldn't wear contacts right now if you don't have to. Just wear glasses. And for the most part, you don't have to be anywhere. So just wear glasses. According to the American Academy of, I don't know, some big word that starts with O that has to do with eyes, that you shouldn't. And also, it's not even about, you know, contacts and glasses. It's about touching your eyes. Because when you do contacts, you put your fingers in, like, it's like, hey, if you don't have to wear contacts, don't anyway. But also, it's going to keep your fingers out of your eyes. And your eyes and your nose and your mouth are where we get sick from, you know? So, I saw that. Speaking of, like, your nose. Did that tell you what happened up here in our room at work?
No.
Okay, so Mike D and I do the show from my house, and he sits over to our right. And it's just a small little studio that I mostly would do my podcast from. But it's an upstairs, like, small living room in my house. Have you ever been up here?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We're up here, and all of a sudden, I'm like, because it's early in the morning, and I'm like, is Caitlin cooking eggs? And so during a break, I walk... And I look downstairs, I go, hey, Caitlin, are you cooking eggs? And she's like, no. Why? And I was like, it smells like eggs. And she's like, I don't smell it. So I come back in and I send a Mike, and he doesn't smell it at first yet. Then I go pee in the bathroom, and I'm like, hey, Mike, come smell these holes and see if you can find which one stinks. Because there's the sink, the toilet, and the shower. And I wasn't sure it was even coming from that room. I got to be honest with you.
Okay.
But it was a heavy waft. And so Mike smells all the holes. And goes, I think it's a shower. So here we are. It's Mike and I. We can't. There's no plumber to come over. And so we Google how to fix a stinky hole.
Yeah, basically.
Something like that.
Okay.
Because it smells like, because I used to live, when I was in Mountain Pine, we had a sewage tank. And so, some, you know, we'd have people come into the sewage tank, but it was that sewage smell coming through a pipe. So we Googled it, and here's the tip. You boil water, you dump the boiled water down the drain, and then you dump vinegar and baking soda down the drain. And I'm telling you, it smells perfect, right?
Yeah, it doesn't smell anymore.
So if you have a stinky pipe because something's going on because there was a big storm, that's a little tip to do before you have to call a plumber. We did it. It was fine. But we also, I didn't have vinegar, so I got like vinegar salad dressing. But it worked.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But we're like plumbers up here.
Yeah.
I'm making fires at my house. Well, I just set it up. Amy's husband actually did the fire. The turning
started
on.
Started it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The turning on. Did you hear me? Amy's husband turned on the fire. But that's what we're doing up here. We're making things work. We're figuring it out. Coming up, hopefully, still later today, Dr. Fauci will be on. Love when he talks. The guy has been with 6 presidents. Did you know that, Amy?
I know it's been a long, long time because you had told me that George H.W. Bush was saying how he's like...
His hero.
His hero, yeah. They I was going to say favorite person in the world, but hero works.
we can play that clip back later.
Yeah.
George, do you have it?
We can get it, yeah.
Okay, George H.W. Bush was in a debate and they asked him who his hero was. This is in the 80s and he goes, you probably don't know him, but he's a guy fighting HIV right now. And it was Dr. Fauci. He's been with 6 presidents. So we'll talk to him later on. You guys can always send us emails. We open up the mailbag, and here we go.
Bobby's mailbag.
All right, this email is from a guy named Spencer. He says, hey, guys, and good morning. My name is Spencer, and like many people in quarantine, I've had a lot of time to reflect on my life and realize that when this is all over, I want to travel by myself and figure out what makes me happy. He goes on to write, I've been dating the same woman for 8 months. We have been quarantining apart because she was exposed to corona from her cousin. She wants to come spend the rest of self-quarantine with me, but I've realized I don't want to be in this relationship anymore. They say absence makes the heart grow fonder, but for me, it's made me realize I don't want to see our relationship go anywhere else. I want to break it off. I don't know if I should do it over the phone or can I do it over Zoom? We've been doing Zoom almost every day since being apart. What do you think? Signed, Spencer. It's the email right there. Which, by the way, if you're not familiar with Zoom, maybe some of you aren't, it's basically FaceTime. You just get on your computer, a bunch of people get in the same room and talk. But it's just a video chat app.
Right.
So he wants to know if he can get on Zoom and break up with his girlfriend. Amy, I'll let you go first on this one.
Well, yeah. I mean, I would much rather you do it over Zoom than to call her or text her. If that's truly what you're feeling, like you don't, this, who knows how long we're really going to be in this. You don't need to drag this relationship out. If this is something that you've realized, then you be mature about it. You schedule a Zoom and you, unfortunately, it's not going to be easy, but you break up with her face to face.
Are you telling me you think he should log on and virtually dump her in a chat room? Is that what you're saying? I just need to hear you say yes or no on this.
It's not a chat room.
I just need to hear you say yes or no.
Yes.
Okay, I agree with you. Now, here's
okay,
the thing.
Thank you.
We're probably going to be locked down for 3-4 more weeks, right? You got to be fair to her and let her start getting over you or getting over it as soon as possible. I think you owe that to her. You can do it any way you want. Text, call.
That I don't agree with.
Zoom. Boom, zick, bling, blam. Whatever you want to do, just do it and rip the Band-Aid off. At least with Zoom or FaceTime, you can see each other's face.
Right.
Yeah.
Which you would normally break. If you could see her in person, you would break up with her in person, right?
I don't know. It's not me. I mean, I'm down with Zoom all the time.
One time my boyfriend took me, I thought we were going on a date, but he took me to break up with me.
Wait, what?
I thought we were going on a date. And he took me to break up with me.
Where does one take someone to break up with them?
We went to Mozart's Coffee, which is on Lake Austin.
Why not just, hey, let's talk in the backyard?
To go sit by the water to break up with me there. I mean, the scenery was nice, but I loved Mozart's. I'd been going there since high school. And I thought, oh, wow, we're just going on a little coffee date. Nope. We ordered stuff. We sat down, had a talk, and we walked away. Well, he drove me there. So
that's what I'm saying. Then he has to drive you back home afterward.
He had to go drop me off back home after we broke up. I mean, that, yeah, it was awkward.
That's a, there wasn't an Uber. You can't Uber yourself out of there. It's like, oh, dang it. Hey, you might give me a lift back to the place?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what we're going to say, Spencer. Amy and I are in agreement. If you feel like you need to break off with her, break it up with her, break it off. Don't wait till after this is over. Do it now.
Yeah.
And we think Zoom would be the most 3D experience, right?
The most respectable.
Okay, fine. But break up with her. We agree. Spencer, have at it, buddy, and then go travel the world alone and realize that it still kind of sucks.
I mean, if you're going to travel.
Yeah. He probably made that up just to get us to agree with him. All right, there you go. Close that mailbag up.
And that was Bobby's Mailbag.
Nice. The newest episode of my game show, Super Easy Trivia, I have posted it on my Instagram, Mr. Bobby Bones. You can see it. Maddie and Tay played this week. Also, Morgan Evans played this week. It's a fun game. It's about 10 minutes long. It's a video game show. Check it out.
Bobby Bones Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from Orlando, Florida. A man is wanted by police after he's been calling in $1,000 orders of fake pizzas New Jersey restaurants. He's saying, hey, I need $1,000 worth of pizza from this restaurant. And then he never shows up and gets it.
Well, I think your tip-off there is just ordering a dollar amount of pizza, not a number of pizzas. Like, if the guy just calls us, like, I like $700 worth of pizza, you know he's probably full of crap. If he goes on, like, 32 pizzas, there's probably a little bit of credibility to him. But, yeah, these poor people, are they making all the pizzas?
They're making the pizzas, and then no one shows up, but they've now traced this guy's number to Orlando, and they haven't arrested him yet, but they know he's in Orlando, and they're looking for him.
Do you run from the law at that point? Like, how heavy does your crime have to be to actually run from the law? If you hear that in, like, a bonehead story and you know that's you, right now, do you kind of hide out for a little bit, Amy, or no?
Yeah, because I'm embarrassed that I did that.
No, well, this guy's not embarrassed that he did it. That sounds like something Lunchbox would do, though. All right.
I'm Lunchbox. That's your bonehead story of the day.
Come on! It's time for the good news.
With Amy.
Tell me something good.
So I got a shout-out to this couple, Paul and Margie Walsh. Okay, so first of all, Paul is using his talent of having an executive transportation business to shuttle patients and doctors back and forth to the hospital or different appointments they may have. And then his wife, when she's not working as an OR nurse, she's sewing face masks for the passengers to wear while they're riding in his car to go to their appointments.
Wow, they're just giving back straight up.
I know.
Yeah, that's cool. Like, that's good.
Goals
for what, like relationship goals? I was thinking like volunteer goals. We got two different things happening here, but yeah, that's cool. Okay. That's what it's all about right there.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
We're going to play Name That Celebrity Laugh. We're playing this game because Seth Rogen turns 38 today. He's known for Knocked Up, Superbad, and the 40-year-old virgin. He's also known for having a really goofy laugh. For example, here is Seth Rogen. All right. Amy, would you have known that laugh?
I mean, I think I eventually could have gotten there, but knowing it beforehand makes me say, of course I would get it.
Yeah. Well, that's Seth Rogen's laugh. I'm going to give you guys a laugh. All you have to do is name the celebrity that's laughing. Write your answers down. Amy, Eddie, Lunchbox. Here we go. Number one. These are all from movies, by the way. I'll play it for you one more time. Here you go. All right, everybody up. Let's go. Amy, you're first.
That is Tom Hanks.
That is correct. Lunchbox?
Tom Hanks.
That is correct. Eddie?
It's my boy, Tom Hanks.
There you go. Good work, good work. All right, let's go to laugh number two.
Oh.
You want it again?
Oh, my gosh.
Here it is.
Yeah.
Can you name that laugh?
What?
I think if any of you guys get it, you'll win it. I'll give you a hint. It's very dark. Okay? It's very dark. And it's in a movie. They're playing a character. It's a very dark laugh.
Okay. I'm in.
Okay. Everybody in? Very dark.
Yeah, I'm in.
Lunchbox.
Jack Nicholson.
Incorrect. Eddie. Oh,
gosh. I have Jim Carrey, but I know who it is now.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Well, don't say.
I'm not.
Amy, you can win it.
I'm going with the latest Joker, Joaquin Phoenix.
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo! There Did I go. Just win?
You won. Boy, I hate when games end so early.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, let me see if you can name this one. Number okay. three. Go ahead.
Oh. Oh, I know that. That's Julia Roberts, and I'm pretty sure the clip is Pretty Woman.
That is correct. Can you name this one? Can you name that one?
Miley Cyrus.
Correct. See if you can name wow. this one.
What?
What if I add a word at the end of it? Smoking. Play it again, Raimundo. Mm.
Smoking.
Smoking. Oh, is it Jim Carrey?
Yeah, Jim Carrey. All right. Name this one.
I'm opening the door now, okay? Here we go.
It sounds British.
Yep.
Yep, go with that.
Sure is.
Eddie Murphy.
Oh, what? Okay, yeah. I did not have that. I was thinking Ricky Gervais, but okay.
Let's do one more. That one's tough because it's so the character more than the person. But do you know that character laugh?
No.
No. Play one more time, Ramona. No. Nothing, huh?
Someone bad.
Well, it's Dr. Evil and Austin Powers.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. It's Mike Myers.
I didn't even.
Yeah. There's the Amy, you're the winner, though. Nice job.
Thank you.
I was reading a story about bedtime rituals because I have it. Like, I don't go to sleep without turning The Office on. I need to hear that opening sequence of those keys. And then I've seen every episode, so I know what's going to happen. So I can just kind of sit back and let it wash over me without being super tuned in. I can't have a show on that I'm curious what's going to happen next. I can't have the news on, but I have to have something on. It used to be King of Queens. Now it's The Office. And this whole thing was about how we all have bedtime rituals. You have anything?
No, I mean, my husband and I watch something on TV together, and then we just look at each other, we're like, ready to turn it off, and then we turn it off, and we go to sleep.
Well, another thing I do is I go and I make the complete circle of my house to make sure every door is locked, and I'll walk all of it, check all the locks, and then when I get to my room, I'll turn the alarm on. So that's something that I do every single night in the exact same order. That would be a ritual.
Oh, wow. There's some nights where I go to bed and I wonder if I lock the door, and then I'm too tired to go check. So I'm just like, well, I guess we'll find out.
I guess if we die, I die. So here you go. They talked to 2,000 adults, and this is all for some sleep study about people and how they sleep. Here are the top six or seven. Number seven is stretching. People stretch before bed. I don't even stretch before I work out or after workout, much less before I go to bed. I'm so not flexible, but I don't stretch. Taking vitamins or supplements before they go to bed.
I do that.
Yeah?
That's a ritual? Okay. I do that.
I would take mine in the morning. So I guess I'd take it at a different time. I do my vitamins and stuff, and I do my nose spray, all my allergy stuff in the morning. Number five is taking a warm bath. Here's the problem with that before bed for me. Much like when I do anything in my life, if I'm going to do it, I go hard. Whatever it is. Working out, eating cake. When I take a bath, I turn it hot because I'm trying to get maximum effort. And my heart does this, boop, 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 boop. Because hot baths move your heart faster. You knew that, right?
Yeah.
So I can't go to bed after I take a warm bath. Do you?
No, I can relax. It calms me. It does get my heart rate up, but there's still something relaxing about it to me.
Scrolling through Instagram at number four?
I try not to do that.
I probably do, but I don't know that I should.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a ritual. I know there's nights that I'm guilty of it, but my husband will call me out.
Exercise, light exercise, like doing push-ups or sit-ups?
Nope.
Laying out clothes for the next day?
Never.
No?
No. I should, but I don't.
And then number one is watching a specific TV show.
So, yeah, I guess that's ours.
There you go. We did finish Ozark season 2 last night.
Baller.
Yeah, and so now we got a palate cleanse with the Tiger King episode, and then we'll hop back. I'm not going to say anything about it, but we're going to hop into three.
Season 3.
Did you guys find something you're watching or no?
Well, we're dipping our toes back into Homeland.
Is that show still on?
Out of desperation? I have no idea. All I know is where we left off, we never finished. So I know that there's some episodes or maybe even a full season that we haven't seen. We haven't quite figured out that sweet spot because we started watching an episode thinking we hadn't seen it, and then both of us could recall what happened. But I think we're somewhere close to where we just randomly stopped watching, which I don't even know why we stopped because Homeland used to be good.
Yeah. That's how I felt about Ozark. I should have never stopped because it was really good.
Right.
Seasons of life, Amy. You know how it
well,
is.
Well, I'll keep you posted because right. Homeland might not be that good.
I did an episode of a show called Running Wild with Bear Grylls. He's a special forces guy from the UK who's had a show for a long time, and he takes out celebrities. Now, I think I was the lowest celebrity they've ever had, but I went. It was fun. We went to Norway, and now it's on Disney Plus, and just went up a few days ago. And so a lot of people have been tagging me on Instagram going, hey, I'm watching your episode for the first time. And Eddie has Disney Plus. Eddie also has a 12-year-old son that was over at my house a few days ago because they were working on a basketball goal. And he just does not think I'm cool. He just sees me as one of his dad's idiot buddies. Right, Eddie?
Right. That's pretty much it. You're just a buddy, dude. That's it.
And so you had him watch it. Were they excited to watch it or no?
Yeah. So I told him, like, hey, give it a chance. Well, Bobby's on this episode of Bear Grylls. Check it out. And they like Bear Grylls. All the kids do. So my son was like, fine, I'll watch it. And he watched it. And to them, to all our kids, Bear Grylls is a superhero.
Yeah.
I mean, they love this dude. So they're very interested in it, and my 12-year-old's interested in it. He loved the whole thing.
And so you have a clip of you talking with your 12-year-old?
Yeah, this is right after he watched it, and I pretty much just asked him, you know, so what he thought of you first before watching it,
yeah,
and then what he thinks of you now after watching the episode.
All right, here we go.
All right, let me start with this question. So is Bobby cool in your eyes?
Yeah, I guess he's your friend. That's kind of a weird question, though.
Okay, well, all right. So you saw him on Running Wild with Bear Grylls. You like that show, right?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a good show. So you see him on there, and you watch the episode. Now, do you think he's way cooler because he was on the episode?
Kind of cooler.
Why, because he's on TV?
No, and he, like, climbed down cliffs and stuff.
So now he's way cooler. So when you see him...
No, I said kind of cool.
So next time you see him, you're going to be like, wow, this guy's kind of cooler.
I don't think so.
Okay, so he's just normal to you.
Yeah.
Dang.
There you go.
I was wanting to be like the coolest guy. I'm my dad's coolest friend. Dang.
But you did go down some cliffs and you did get some cred there. You know, that's it.
Well, thanks for asking him. I appreciate
you're
that.
You're welcome. He did feel a little awkward from it, but yeah, there you go.
Got a lot of voicemails. You can leave them for us when we're out of the studio. Just call 877-77-BOBBY. Here is voicemail number one.
Hey, Bobby. I'm a critical care nurse. I have been for 16 years. I'm going to work. I work in a hospital. I'm getting paid. And people are bringing us food, and they're sending us pizzas and stuff. We don't need it. We're getting paid. Could we please ask people to donate these to homeless shelters, to people that aren't being fed? There's so many people out there that can't pay their rent and are totally freaking out. So please, if you could ask your listeners to do that. Shout out to healthcare workers. We appreciate it. I'm not trying to be ungrateful, but rather than send us a pizza, buy some cereal and bring it to your homeless shelter. Anyway, thank you. Bye.
Oh, wow. Boy, I wasn't expecting that. I would say this. Maybe you just blow them a call and be like, hey, can I send food? And if they say yes, then you do it. I think she has a point, but I think there are probably a lot of places that would like it too, right, Amy?
Yeah, I've seen some places where they're just super busy. They're not even taking the time to eat, but it kind of brings them together in their break room or whatever it is, like a camaraderie and support and encouragement type thing. So, but I totally see what she's saying, and that's very sweet of her to remind us of that side too. And maybe you could make a donation somewhere in honor of your local hospital if they don't want it, you know?
So, yeah, I just say, toss them a call and say, hey, can I send pizzas up? And if they say, oh, we're good, then go, well, still, you can still take that money and put it toward the food bank.
Yep.
Okay, here is voicemail number two.
I'm getting married in December, and I'm really struggling with picking a first dance song. And I was wondering if maybe you could do a draft on the best first dance songs. I know you've done love songs and like stuff like that in the past, but I would just really like your help on this. Thanks so much. Love you guys. Listen every day.
All right. Thanks, Becca. First, congratulations. Secondly, we did a first dance draft song. Check it on YouTube. But Amy, today, you may have a different opinion today. If you're picking a song today for her or for you, what would you pick?
Oh, I would pick Dan and Shay with Justin Bieber, 10,000 Hours.
Mm. How trendy of you.
I know. It's such a good song.
It is
song.
A jam, though. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's so good. And then the words are perfect. It's, I'm sure as you're been getting married, he spent 10,000 hours getting to know you and then earn you him. And then y'all have infinite number of hours left to get to know each other the rest of your lives. I love it.
I feel like Kayla and I spent 10,000 hours getting to know each other in the last 5 weeks. It's been it's been great, but it's been a lot, in a good way, because we get to fast track our relationship a little bit, because being long distance, it takes slower than normal.
Yeah.
So I would pick this song right now, just offhand, Jack Johnson, Better Together, because this is just, I don't know. I don't know why I picked this song, but I like it. Here we go.
There's no combination of words I could put on a
You know the song, Amy?
No song I need to hear the whole thing.
But I can try for your heart and our dreams, and they are made out of real things, like a shoebox of photographs with sepia tone loving. Love is the answer.
Just that Jack Johnson vibe.
I like that vibe.
But then the whole thing is like, we're better together. I think this is from, though, a soundtrack of Curious George, the cartoon movie from back in the day, too.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I think
really?
So. Yeah. Here we go. Turn it up right here.
It's always better when we're together. Yeah, look at them stars and we're together. Well, it's always better when we're together. Yeah, it's always better when we're together.
That's anyway, I picked that one right now.
That's sweet.
Who knows what I'll pick tomorrow? Here is another voicemail from Avery in Georgia.
So I heard you say the other day that you had a podcast episode that was doing really, really well and you couldn't figure out why. So I listened to it. And I have to be honest, I can't figure out why either. Like, it was a great episode, but you said it was getting close to the Luke Combs episode, which is just crazy to me.
Yeah, so I have a music podcast called The Bobby Cast. Different from this show, but our biggest episode ever has been Luke Combs coming and hanging out for an hour, and you can still hear that. But we have this episode, it's Mike talking about music movies and Jana Kramer coming on the phone, and it is just blowing numbers out of the water.
It's crazy.
We can't figure out why it's getting so many streams. So we've had people listen to it and tell us if it's so good, and they're like, it's fine. But yeah, so appreciate that. Check out the Bobby Cast. All right, there you go. Those are your voicemails. We appreciate that.
The morning corny.
What did the big flower say to the little flower?
What the big flower say to the little flower?
Hi, bud.
All right. You know?
That was the morning corny.
There you go. Whoa. The Bobby
Bones Show. Here's Amy's pile of stories.
So there's a doomsday bunker in Las Vegas, and it has all the comforts of a home that you would need. It's just underground, and it's 15,000 square feet. It got built in 1978 because someone had a fear of nuclear war, and it's on the market now for $18 million.
That was my next question. How much? Wow.
Yeah. But underground, it has a pool, a spa, there's even trees, then there's murals and lighting that replicates open spaces from dawn to dusk.
18 million?
Yeah.
Mike, how much was that house that the Amazon guy paid? You know, because wasn't that like 20 million?
No, I think that was like in the 100 million.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's a, you have to have a billion to spend $18 million on like a thirdary house. Because I'm sure you have a house and then a secondary house before you buy a bunker underground, right?
Oh, well, let me tell you the good part. This also comes with a home directly above ground. So you can have your home on top and then boom, you have your 15,000 square foot underground home.
You didn't tell me that. So I'm going to get on that wait list to buy that one. And now that you say that, what are you going to say, Mike?
His was $165 million.
Jeff Bezos?
Yeah.
You know, my thing with Jeff Bezos' name is I say it different every time. Just because people are always irritated how I say it. So I'm not quite sure, so I just say Jeff Bezos in different ways every time.
Right, I think you just literally said it three different ways.
That's why I do. All right, what else you got?
Speaking of Jeff Bezos.
That's not how you say it. That's the one way you don't say it. Go ahead.
Bezos. Amazon grocery delivery services will no longer accept any new customers. Now, this is to mitigate delays. I guess there's been a lot of complaints like, hey, I've been a member for a long time and now I'm having to wait forever to get stuff and there's all these new people coming in. So now they're not accepting anybody new. If you want to be on it, you're added to a wait list with an indefinite wait time.
Couple things when you tell that story reminds me to talk about. One, I did see where Amazon is now worth $1.1 trillion.
Oof.
It actually went up because of how much everyone needs it right now. And then two, you use the word mitigate. which is what is being used a lot now with coronavirus, which is a word I didn't hear often until recently. Amy, do you know what mitigate means?
Yes, to handle.
No.
Control?
So okay, well, sort of. It's to like make less serious, make less painful.
Right.
Okay.
To get a hand, like yes, to con. I use the synonym handle.
Okay.
I got it handled.
Got it. Okay. I just thought I was quite the fancy word throw in there. Okay.
Oh. What else? Well, you know, just over here expanding my vocabulary here in quarantine. I teach school now, you know.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. All right. What else you got?
So, Black China. Is it Black China or Black China?
I think it's Black China.
Black China.
I saw this story too. It's about her FaceTimes.
Yes, she is offering FaceTime conversations for $950. And get this, you don't even need to have the money up front. You can pay in 4 interest-free installments.
Yeah, I saw this and I saw people getting irritated about it. And I just go to, if you're irritated, just don't buy it. That's it. If you don't want to pay, well, how much is it? $995?
$950 for the FaceTime call. Yeah. But if you want her to follow you on social media, which she has quite the influence, she has 16 million followers herself. Wow. You can pay $250 and she'll follow you back.
For how long? Does it say?
I don't know.
There's a lot of things that need to be talked about here. But again, I don't have a problem with people trying to make money however they want to make money. If it's not illegal, people are so upset about it. Guys, we live in a capitalist world. And if it's worth someone to pay $950 to call, okay, you get a private time. It's like a meet and greet whenever you go up meet your favorite artist. This time, for sure, you won't get corona. I don't even know who Black China is, I'll be honest with you.
She was with Rob Kardashian.
Yeah, okay, who's that? I know he's a Kardashian because of the last name.
The brother.
Yeah. That's something in my life I've totally not, I'm not hating on it. I just have never invested, don't know anything about them except for what's on the super surface.
Yeah. Can I say, since we're talking about the Kardashians, I'll just throw this in there. Khloe Kardashian has a denim line called Good American, and the jeans are so amazing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Like, they're so amazing. And they're majorly, she's having great sales. I keep getting targeted on Instagram with ads.
Probably because you talk about it. Like, right now, I'm sure you're going to get it, too.
Maybe, but I like when they let me know they're having a sale. And the fit, like, she just makes them for all shapes and sizes, and I love that. Yeah. And they fit really good. Okay. Hashtag not an ad. I'm Amy. That's my pile.
That was Amy's pile of stories.
Scuba Steve is our executive producer. Hey, Steve, how long have you been with the show?
Since November, so that's, what, 5 months now?
And if you've noticed, our guests coming on the show have been fruitful, I would say, and guests that we've never been able to get before. I mean, just yesterday we had Dylan from Tiger King. We got Dr. Fauci coming up. And what I just learned, they're best friends in real life. Did you know that, Dylan and Dr. Fauci?
Oh, wow.
Really?
Did not
no,
know that.
Not. No, I'm just kidding. But Dr. Fauci is coming up next. And I'm just curious at how you booked Dr. Fauci. Can you kind of give me some in the weeds here?
So originally, a few weeks ago, we booked Jerome Adams, the Surgeon General. And they have a very similar contact. So I reached out to them. They put us on a waiting list. And I followed up a few times, then reached out to another person, and then they got back to us, and then we finally got him.
What do you think the clincher was to get Dr. Fauci?
I think my persistence.
Yeah, nice.
Not giving up.
Come on, Scuba Steve, there he is.
Is the key.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, because, I mean, think about it. He's so busy right now.
Yes. And
I mean, I'm shocked.
Not only that, I have Dr. Fauci's home number.
That's what you do know, yes.
I'm calling him. I'm going to call him after the show. I'm just going to check. You know what I'm going to do is I'm going to see him behind Trump, and I'm just going to call him during the meeting and see if he looks down at his phone and turns it off.
Oh, I dare you.
Anyway, I'm going to call Dr. Fauci. We're going to have him on in just a second. But here's a fun clip. So he's worked with 6 different presidents, the last 6 presidents. And, you know, he's the head of disease, infectious, a lot, big old long title. And so back when George H.W. Bush was running for office, he was up in a debate and someone asked President Bush who his hero was. And this is that clip.
People that are clean and honorable and out there setting setting the pace. I think of Dr. Fauci. Probably never heard of him. He's a very fine research top doctor at National Institute of Health, working hard doing something about research on this disease of AIDS.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
Hey, Dr. Fauci, it's Bobby Bones in Nashville, Tennessee.
Hi, how you doing, Bobby?
Hey, thank you for taking a few minutes to talk with me and my show here.
Happy to do it.
You know, I was watching you talk about shaking hands, and I'm a big non-handshaker and have been for a long time. And you say that shaking hands is probably not the best way that we should greet each other for a while. Now, my question is, what is the best alternative in your mind to shaking hands?
You know, there's a couple of things. You know, one is you just put your hands up with your palms showing. That's one thing. The other is something that's more Asian. You know, put your hands together and give a little bow. The other is an elbow bump, which a lot of people do, which is probably, you know, whatever suits you. I mean, a lot of times people just do an elbow bump, just stick out the elbow and bump like that, you know.
I feel like, because I've been bowing to people a little bit too, and they take it a little weird, but I have to telegraph my bow. Like, if I tell them I'm bowing, they often react in a positive way, but if I just do it straight up, they think something's wrong with me. Eastern culture has it right with the bow. They always have.
Yep, they have, and that's a good thing, but you're right. We need to really be careful about that. You know, this is something we say over and over again. It sounds very simplistic, simple, but it's really effective. Is, you know, washing your hands as often as you possibly can, and just the risk of someone who is either infected and subclinical and is doesn't have any symptoms, but still shedding virus from their nose when they touch their face and then they touch your hand. If you don't wash your hands within a reasonable period of time, you can, again, innocently and inadvertently touch your own face and mucosal membrane of your eyes, your nose, or your lips, and then bingo, you're infected. Stay away from handshaking for a while.
When do you think we'll be able to have concerts again? You know, I'm a live performer. Yeah. When does that happen again?
You know, there's no definite answer to that. I mean, the mitigation that we're doing right now is having a very important effect on dampening the spread of virus, even though certain regions of the country, particularly in the Northeast, the New York City metropolitan area, New Orleans, Chicago, Detroit, have suffered terribly, but they're not in sync with each other. So when you talk about opening up concerts, you know, you have to be careful. It depends where you are, what time is it, what is the level of virus circulation in the community. The one thing you don't want to do is if you still have some residual virus circulating, and by residual virus, I mean people getting infected over, you know, not as much as an explosion in New York City, but enough people to keep the embers of the outbreak burning. The one thing you don't want is to have a concert where you put 20, 30, 40, 50,000 people closely packed together. I mean, as much as that's really fun and it's part of our culture to enjoy, if you look at the history of the clusters of outbreaks that have triggered things in this country, it has been those kinds of clusters that have been at events where people gather. I mean, in China was the classic example of that. At a time very, very early on, where they were having circulation of virus, they held like a 40,000-person block party in the middle of the city of Wuhan, which was felt to be one of the major triggers. Unfortunately, in New Orleans, the Mardi Gras was held, and then you could time it reasonably soon after the Mardi Gras, New Orleans exploded. So I think we need to be really careful and make sure that we have a really, really good control of what's going on before we start congregating people in crowds that are really quite numerous, as you get with a good concert.
Would you say that these late summer festivals are a bad idea?
You know, I don't like to make general statements like that, but quite frankly, if we do have continual degrees of infection, that these kind of festivals are really, you know, really vulnerable points of reigniting outbreaks. You know, I say that with the public health person in me says that with a great deal of conviction. You know, the person that likes, you know, the fun and the freewheeling that you get, that feeling when you're at a festival, tells me that's unfortunate. But, you know, we got to get through this. This is a historic outbreak. I mean, this will go down in history along with something like the 1918 pandemic of influenza, which was so devastating to the global community. This is tough. I mean, we're going to have to accept the fact that it just can't be business as usual.
What do you think about restaurants? Now, will they get to open if they spread the seating out earlier than otherwise?
Yeah. So so restaurants are interesting, and again, that's going to depend on where you are, because there will be a relative risk depending upon the density of infection. I mean, if you have a community that has been in the middle of it, like New York City or Detroit, and you are not way, way down on your curve of the outbreak, you know, and there's a kinetic curve to the outbreak that you could measure. It goes up, it peaks, it turns around, it comes down. If you're still in the middle of it, then you really don't want to do any restaurant stuff. It's like close down and that's it. If you're getting involved in a gradual, I call it a rolling reentry into normality in sections, regions, towns, cities, where there really is not a lot of infection going on, but it isn't all over, I think what you will likely see, and it will depend upon the local leadership, mayors, governors of states, that you likely will see something akin to what you just described. That, you know, we went from restaurants completely open to restaurants completely closed and only taking carryout. That you will likely see in some situations, not all, that restaurants will open, but they will have an absolute limit on the number of people they will let in. So that you would have tables that are separated by empty tables. No such a thing as some of the restaurants have where they have people lined up and you're literally sitting next to someone that you're not even having dinner with. You know, I think all of us have been in restaurants like that. I think that just is not going to happen.
You know, I grew up in a town of 700 people in Mountain Pine, Arkansas, and there isn't a lot of COVID-19 in Mountain Pine, Arkansas. So would it be possible, is it possible that Mountain Pine, Arkansas and other small rural areas like that actually gets back to a normal faster than some of these more metropolitan areas, like a full normal?
Yeah, I believe there's no question about that. In fact, I had discussions with the governor of Arkansas, and he, you know, he explained to me something I wasn't fully aware of in the city, the density of people in certain geographic portions of the state of Arkansas, that they have almost no infection at all. And the ability of their getting back to some degree of normality is considerably greater than in a place where there is a lot of density of people and a lot of density of infection. So the answer to your question is quite correct, that it will be different. This is not going to be unidimensional. It's not going to be a one-size-fits-all by any means.
I think what's interesting about my radio show is we're on in about 150 cities, and we're on in large cities and very rural areas. And so we have all different kinds of folks that listen to our show. I grew up in a really small town, like I said, a really rural area. And whenever you talk about masks and people going out with a face covering, now, again, is that something that we should do in all sizes of town? Or is, again, should just the more dense areas kind of prepare more so?
If you really, over a period of time, see very little infections, one of the things that you could do is to try, to the best of your ability, to stay 6 feet apart from people and not go into big crowds. If, in fact, you have that in your community, you may not need a mask. If you're in a community where there's infections, and although we say stay 6 feet apart, from a practical standpoint, it's difficult to do that for the simple reason that when you go to a pharmacy or you go to a drugstore, very often you inadvertently have to come into contact with people. Then it may be required that you do that. That's the point.
So with the whole toilet paper thing, do you have an explanation now as to why people bought all this toilet paper and I still can't find it at the store?
I don't have any idea what happened with the toilet paper. Just to be honest with you, I just thought that people thought, maybe, I don't know, I can't get into their head, thought that as places where you could buy things would shut down because of the fact that we were in a strict mitigation phase, that stores would close and certain essentials that they would need would run out. That's the only thing I could imagine. But as it turns out, you know, the grocery stores and the supermarkets that supply the food also have these other essentials. And I didn't see that there's going to be any shortage of that. So I don't understand why people started hoarding that.
I just have a couple more questions for you. And I really do appreciate your time here. Have you seen the petition to make you the sexiest man alive yet?
I heard about it. I haven't seen it. I heard about it.
It has 15,000 signatures as of right now when I'm talking with you.
Right.
Would you accept that award?
That would be a joke.
But you didn't say yes or no. If they said Dr. Fauci, would you accept the award?
Well, you know what I would say to that, partially tongue-in-cheek? Where were you all when I was 30 years old?
Dr. Fauci, what time do you wake up in the morning nowadays?
About 5 o'clock, quarter to 5.
Are you still able to get your exercise in every day?
Not every day. I used to do it every day. Now, I do it on the weekend with my wife. We have a beautiful place to run in Washington, D.C., and the C&O Canal. It's really one of our favorite places. But what I've been doing a couple of times a week, I used to run at lunchtime before the coronavirus crisis. But since I'm locked up in the White House most of the day or in my own facility at the NIH, what I try to do is late at night when I get back from the White House is to try and steal a quick outside run, a power walk with my wife. I've been able to do that successfully, maybe an additional two nights a week in addition to the 2 days of the weekend. So we're going about four out of 7 days, which isn't bad.
Are you able to watch any sort of TV shows at all, any Netflix at all?
No, unfortunately not. Not at all. And I just have so much stuff that I need to get through that the idea of sitting down in front of a television, it just doesn't work, unfortunately.
I'm going to ask you one more scientific question, sort of. Now, we've heard conflicting things about whether to wear gloves or not. Should we be wearing them, you know, at the grocery store or like the gas pump? What's your advice on that?
Yeah, no, I feel less strongly about gloves than I do about hand washing. I think if you wash your hands, it's much better.
Well, we thank you for your time. Thank you for your service. Thank you for, you know, you've kept me sane through this. Anytime I see you on any network, I stop and watch and really dial in and take a lot of your sentiment to my listeners every day. So thank you for fighting the fight. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. It was good being with you. Stay safe. Stay safe.
Bye-bye.
It's time for the good news.
With Bobby.
Tell me something good.
Lots of restaurants are pitching in to help during the coronavirus outbreak, including Sauce Pizzeria, which brings hundreds of pizzas to hospital workers in New York City every day. They deliver as many as 400 pizzas to 40 hospitals in the five boroughs to make sure those on the front lines have something to eat. Now, their landlord, A&E Real Estate Management, is getting on in the act, and they've donated $20,000 to the effort and canceled the restaurant's rent for 3 months. Crazy. Awesome. One person did something good, somebody else did something good. Next thing you know, everybody's doing something good, and we're all happy. We're not there yet, but we're working on it. But that's what it's all about right there.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
I was looking through the news this morning, and I found three stories that I really liked. And I was just going to do three different segments, but I'm just bringing it all right now. Here are my favorite three stories of today. Here we go. Number three.
Number three.
If you're already running out of stuff to do, you can take on the hell puzzle. Have you seen this?
I haven't.
A Japanese company created a 2,000-piece jigsaw puzzle that is completely blank. Even though all the pieces are white, there is still a correct way to do it because they oddly will fit together. The box reads, "Please do not buy this if you are a beginner. 18 years and up, you have been warned. It costs $30. Right now, out of stock." But would you be curious about getting into the hell puzzle?
I don't think I am, but maybe... Are you?
No, I have no interest in the hell puzzle. I think it's a wonderful marketing tool, though. Like
sure.
To name it that? Yeah, I'm not a puzzle guy. I don't have the patience for that. Are you kidding? Okay, here we go. Number two.
Number two.
All right, Parasite is now on Hulu if you want to watch it, which is good. Mike, you watched it.
Yeah.
You loved it.
I loved it.
I liked it a good amount. And it is in subtitles, and it is a South Korean movie, but it's real good. And you do forget that you're reading subtitles after a while. I'll admit that. Because when I was going in to watch Parasite, I was like, all right, I don't want to read. I have plenty of books to read. Don't want to read a movie. Turns out I did. And it was good.
Yeah.
And so I watched it. It's on Hulu. If you have Hulu, watch it. But everybody's complaining that it's not in English. And I was looking through some of the comments. Here's one. It's not in English. No one wants to watch a movie that they literally have to read to understand what's going on. By the way, I felt that way too. So before I hate, I felt that way before I watched it. But then I was wrong. But Hulu has released a statement that says, if you don't want to read subtitles, you can do this. Learn Korean. The end. There you go. That's my number two story of the day. All right, go ahead. Number one.
Number one.
And this is a story that Mike D brought me. about a guy. His friends surprised him with a flight on a fighter jet.
Yeah.
Okay, so what happened?
So he's a 64-year-old guy, and he works at a place where they make these fighter jets. So they surprised him with a ride in one. But you're actually supposed to get, like, a lot of training, like, 10 days out for it.
Okay.
But, like, the day of, they're like, hey, you're going on this fighter jet. And he's like, I don't really want to do it, but he felt pressured to do it because it was a gift.
He didn't want
to
do it?
No, he didn't want to do it.
Okay, so there's a fighter jet. You need 10 days. He didn't take it. He went up immediately. So what happens?
So he gets in the fighter jet, and they simulate this thing where they're, like, go upside down.
Yeah.
And he freaks out and tries to grab onto something. And the thing he grabs onto is the thing that ejects you from the plane. So he gets ejected.
No way.
Yeah. But he lives. Like, the parachute shot out. And he was able to fall to the ground.
Oh, my God.
Minor injuries, but he was fine.
So the plane goes upside down. Mm-hmm. Did they tell the pilot that he wasn't trained to be
They did. And
the guy still thought he'd take him on the whipped world?
He still took him on.
And you would think that before, I mean, so my husband's a pilot, and I fly with him sometimes. And we go through everything before we take off. He tells me what different things do and what handle. There's a parachute on the particular plane that he flies. And I know exactly what it looks like. It's red. I would have to really pull on that thing. But I just can't imagine that ejection would be that easy.
But it's also, you're not on a fighter jet. I mean, it's going upside down. So I would imagine they've got to make that ejection a lot easier. Because if you're fighting, you got to be able to go.
I know. I agree. But you would just, like, know where it is. Like, for him to just, I mean, what are the odds? I mean, probably not great. But
that's probably why you need 10 days of training to go up in that
oh
thing.
Oh, my gosh.
But he lived.
Yeah, he's
Can
fine.
Can you imagine you're floating down?
Oh, I would die of a heart attack.
I bet the guy's like, I told you guys. The whole time he's like, wait till I see them. Wait till I look. That, anyway, that's my favorite story of the day. Mike D gave me that one. Appreciate you guys hanging out. You can get me on Instagram at Mr. Bobby Bones. You can watch the newest episode of my game show, Super Easy Trivia, where some of the players were Maddie and Tay from Maddie and Tay, Morgan Evans, and a bunch of my friends. So check that out on our Facebook page or my Instagram. So we're heading on 5 weeks with Caitlin and I together in quarantine. It's been great. We were really talking about it last night. You know what we're doing, which I have found unusually productive, and I've got a lot from it, is that Caitlin and I just, when we eat dinner together, we put our cell phones in the other room. And I know people say they should do that, but we do. It's our only time. We go no phones. And it's been great for us because I'm always on my phone. She's not. She's not much of a phone person. But we put our phones away. And it's not like 2 hours or anything, but it's about a half hour. And there's always a really good conversation that comes from it. So we do that every night. And we were talking because I still haven't met her parents. Because they don't.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
When I was going, so here, if you're new to the show, this is kind of the complete story. And then I'll get to coming back around to her parents in a second. So I went to the season premiere of Dancing with the Stars this last season, not the season I was on, but this last season when Lauren Elena was on. And Lauren Elena and I are really close and helped her when she got on the show and then helped her all through the show. And I went out to season one, and one of my friends does PR for ABC, who I know through Dancing with the Stars, through American Idol, through the work that I do over there with them. And so I finished the show and I'm doing some press, and she comes up. She's like, hey, it's good to see you. I hadn't seen her in a while. But she had Caitlin with her at that event. And so I met her, Caitlin, another girl, and nothing happened. We did nothing but, like, send a couple Instagram messages over the next 2 months. And so, but I always remembered her. And so I was going back out to California. And so we had talked a couple times, like, hey, I'm coming back out. And I taped a game show called To Tell the Truth, which still hasn't come out yet. And I said, hey, I'm going to do this, but we should meet up after the game show. And so we do it and we meet up, and she did not think it was a date. I obviously did. And so we went out. It was great. So then we started to hang out a little bit. Now, she's lived in Los Angeles for about a year and a half. And she moved out there to go back to grad school because her brother lives out there, and she wanted to be near him and her kids, his kids. And so I go out to California, and she's coming out here, and we're going back and forth, and I'm working a little bit, and we were dating a few months, and that's when all this quarantine stuff happened. Now, she grew up in Oklahoma, spent her whole life in Oklahoma. Her parents live in Oklahoma, and I haven't been over there to meet her parents. So that was it. We got locked down in the house, and she FaceTimes with them every day, sometimes a couple times a day. And the whole story has been, how am I going to meet her parents? Because this could go on for another month or so. Maybe longer, but probably another month or so. So what we're going to do, not this Friday, but next Friday, her parents are driving from eastern Oklahoma, which is where she's from, a little east of Tulsa, so we'll say Tulsa, and we're going to drive west and meet around Memphis and have a social distancing kind of lunch. And we're going to drive like 3 hours. I'm going to leave after the show. And they're going to drive, I think, 4:15 or something like that. And we're just going to have a lunch, and that's it. And that's how I'm going to meet them. And she really, it's mostly about her seeing her parents. She's never been this long without seeing her parents. And I was like, well, let's just go and we'll drive. It was my idea. We'll drive and meet them halfway, and it'll be great.
That's awesome.
So that's happening next. And it's not a big deal about meeting her parents. For me, it's a big deal. I want to meet them. But it wasn't about that. It was about her just seeing her parents.
Right. And that was awesome of you to think of that and present this idea, because I'm sure that that's going to be so good for her soul to be able to see her parents, even if it's from a distance, just to be able to see them. Yeah. And y'all have a little lunch. Like, I love it.
I'm almost positive it was my idea. I think it was my idea.
No, I think, do you want to know something?
Go ahead.
I think she told me that maybe that would be happening and that you brought it up.
Okay.
And she thought it was super sweet. And yeah, that she was really excited about that. Hope that.
Oh, you already
happening.
Knew about it.
Yeah, she told me about it, I guess, after y'all had discussed it.
Yeah,
because I think
totally
she was excited.
Yeah, like I feel like I need to get to know them and, you know, see if they check off, if I check all their boxes. But I'm good with parents. I don't want to jinx myself. Listen, I'm a normal dude.
What about from 6 feet away?
I'm probably worse. Yeah, I'm probably. But anyway, that's happening not this Friday, but next Friday. But I didn't know you already knew about it. That's pretty exciting. I think her sister's coming too. Yeah, she just wants to see her family. She's very close to her family, which I am not. I don't have a lot of family, so I'm kind of excited to kind of get in the mix too. They have a family text message, and she's been like, "Do you want to get on the?" And I was like, "Not yet. I need to meet them before I get put in." And he's like, "Kind of family text message.
Too soon.
Yeah, un poquito too soon. Yeah.
Pump the brakes.
Yeah. So. Anyway, there you go. That's my life update. Pretty proud of America right now, like all the folks in it, because I think we've listened for the most part. Like when the doctors come out and go, "Hey, we need to social distance to make this go away," I feel like most people were on board with it, and as irritating and as tough of as it is right now for a lot of folks, I feel like people have committed to make it end faster. And like, I'm kind of proud of who we are again. Would you agree with that?
No, I agree. I think it's great. I love any time I turn on the news and they're telling us that we've done a good job.
Yeah. And like Dr. Fauci, who we just had on, you know, they have said before that when they told us, here's the model, and here's what's going to happen, here's who's going to get sick, here's who's going to die, they base that on only 50% of people giving a crap, even caring. And the fact that it's been so much more than that has been great. Like, I'm so proud of us. And not just not us, but like us.
No, like, yeah, humans.
Yeah. A new study has found that despite the current circumstances, Americans are maintaining a positive outlook. Researchers analyzed recent COVID-related tweets and found that most were upbeat and positive. The study found that 60% of coronavirus-related tweets had a positive message. Only 18% were negative.
Wow.
22% were neutral. And this is interesting. Some people are pretty content with working from home and never knew they would be. Seems half the tweets about working from home were positive. Only 29% of the tweets were negative. So I was looking at tweets yesterday, too, of our show. And a lot of our listeners are working from home. Some are still going to have essential jobs. Some of them don't have jobs right now, which stinks. And, you know, hopefully we can get this stomped out and then get everybody back. And so thinking about all you guys in that situation, but I love that story because I feel positive because I just feel like we kind of did a good job with this so far. And there's still some work to be done, right?
Oh, for sure.
There's still, but I feel like for the most part, we outperformed what we thought we were going to hit them with. And that's always a good thing. So,
yeah.
And I love that people are looking out for each other. I say it every day at some point in the show. I love that people are caring and, you know, keep your head on a swivel. That means looking side to side. That means looking for people that need help around you. Because somebody's looking out for you right now. You may not even know it, but somebody's right. Looking out for you. So if you keep your head on a swivel and look around and see who can use the help and help them, that swivel could be anything. It could be your Facebook page. It could be your neighborhood. People from church, there's a lot of places. A swivel could be anything, but look around and see who you can help. What are you going to say?
Well, I was going to say one of my favorite things that I saw online earlier this week was the delivery driver that saw that the house he was dropping off at had a someone with a compromised immune system inside, because you can put signs on your house now. And once he saw that, he wiped down the package and left her a note and said, I saw that you have this going on with your body. I wiped off your package so it's safe. And I was like, that's so cool. Like, that's him looking out for her, and he doesn't even know her.
Right. And you know what? Somebody's probably looking out for him. He doesn't even know it either.
Exactly.
If we all do it, it all gets done.
Yeah.
And so even Caitlin has been a bit inspirational to me, because she just cares so much about people she doesn't know. We have a lot of delivery people that are dropping off. I have a lot of like equipment coming to my house right now because of American Idol. We're starting to shoot it from the house starting next week. Not the whole show, but my part from the house. And we're getting packages, and she has no clothes here. So she's ordering, t-shirts and workout clothes. But she leaves stuff for the delivery guys all the time, puts a note on it. It's like, hey, add some extra surgical masks. She's like, here's a mask. Here's some hand sanitizer, here's a granola. And it's like her just caring about stuff like that. It's like good for me too. So proud of everybody out there. Just glad you're doing stuff for people and letting people do stuff for you. And eventually we will get through this for sure. All right, over to Morgan number two. Hey, Morgan, what happened on today's show that people would like to go check out?
Well, we had Dr. Fauci on, and he talked with you all about coronavirus.
Yeah, well, about concerts and restaurants and masks and corona and his daily routine. Yeah, check out our interview with Dr. Fauci. That's on the podcast. What else?
Eddie brought on his kid to review your episode of Running Wild.
Yeah, since my Running Wild with Bear Grylls episode is on Disney Plus now, we had Eddie's 12-year-old who, by the way, the last time I had seen him did not think I was cool, but you can hear in that clip if he thinks I'm cool now. All right, give me one more, Morgan.
We had a mailbag, and somebody is debating on how they should break up with their partner.
Yes, nice. Boom. Should they break up on Zoom or not? That's all up there. Go to the podcast. Search Bobby Bones Show On Demand. All right. Thank you, guys. Amy, what's going on with you today?
Same old, same old. Yeah, nothing cool. New here.
Cool. I know. I don't know. I hate asking that question, but we got to play the Mr. Rogers music. And
I know. Well, hey, you never know when there might be something different happening. So what's up with you?
Like, really, what's up with me? I'm going to interview Brett Eldridge because he's got a song coming out Friday. We'll play it on the Friday show. But he's got a song. It's like the first song in a couple years or something. So I'm going to do that this afternoon. That's it. I got nothing else. I got nothing.
I mean, just the regular stuff. You mean nothing?
Not even
like
that. I'm just going to sit here all day in this chair. All right.
Yeah, right.
We're done. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye, everybody. Bobby Bones.